Hey, this is Clint Boyer driving the number 14 Ford, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN Radio.
WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, and excited to have in studio one of our absolute favorite drivers, the racing pride of Emporia, Kansas, and the driver of the number 14 Ford Fusion for Stewart Haas Racing, the one and only Clint Boyer. Welcome to WGN. Welcome to Chicago.
Yeah, it's always fun to be in Chicago. Awesome racetrack. You know, you guys just host such a great event, and you know, over the years, it's fun to come down to the city and enjoy all this. Got my little guy with me this week, so we're having fun.
Well, I know that you guys do travel a lot, and mentioned for the Daytona 500, got to see you, got the whole family with. I mean, NASCAR is... it's a family sport. Families come out, families enjoy it, especially for a race that's called like the Tales of the Turtles 400. So you've got like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's not like the Goody's Headache Powder 400. But what is it like to bring like the kids with? I know they're young still at this point. Do they get to understand what Daddy does?
Well, I tell you, one of the perks of having Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sponsor the race, last year they gave all the kids, you know, like the little electric cars. Cash came home with electric, like the Ninja Turtle van that they hooked him up with. So definitely a family sport. It's neat that our sponsors and everything else embrace that. Always great to interact with the fans, especially you know, the little ones, because they're the future of our sport.
Yeah, not every kid goes home with a life-size
no, it was way cool.
motor car. Well, let's talk a little about 2017. This was a year where Stewart Haas went into the Fords. So much high hopes, so much, I think, potential. We were pulling for you so hard. You had a season where I know that I think you as a driver, you saw that you had kind of a lot of the pieces in place, yeah. But just like any season, right, things can kind of come up and it doesn't happen.
Well, I mean, you know, the performance was there and then it wasn't, you know what I mean? It was a rocky road all the way through. Kurt won the Daytona 500, and then it was we ran well earlier in the season. They changed a lot of things throughout the year. You know, they changed the way that they're checking the cars, the procedures and things like that. That kind of threw all the teams for a loop bit, some more than others. I think Stewart Haas was one of them. You know, switching over to the Ford manufacturer and the aero side of things that is so important in our sport. It just takes time to you know, rebuild all that database and collect that you had over the years, and then start, you know, figuring out a direction so you can start marching forward. And a little bit too late, you know, for us as far as the playoffs go, but there's still 10 races to go, a lot of race and a lot to accomplish. Yeah. You can still go rain on their parade and win every race and you know, make people like you talk about guys like me.
Well, one of the most exciting drivers to watch, for sure. So it was always exciting for fans to be able to see Clint Boyer out on the track as well. And from the driver's perspective, we hear it a lot from the listeners and from the fans, the stage racing. They really like it, you know, because yeah. It gives kind of more times for the race to be more relevant. It gives a lot more things to cheer for, a lot more cheer for moments. As a driver, like, how was the transition, number one, and then how are you liking it as you had a year to do it?
Well, I think those go hand in hand. It gives you something to race for. Other than that, you know, just the checkered flag at the end of the race, there's three checkered flags now, stage one, stage two, and stage three. And then those points, as we saw, you know, our finishes were definitely good enough to put us in the playoffs. Our stage points performance was not. And that was the difference this year. That's the difference that bit us over years past. Had it been the old point system, we would have, you know, made the playoffs with flying colors and raced our way in. You know, we finished bridesmaid, finished second three times this year. You know, that's the thing that bites you, is when you really look back at the season and look at things that happened when you got so close to the win and didn't get it. You know, you kind of brush that off because the next week's right around the corner at another good track for you, and you know, you get another second place and another second place. You're like, man, we got to turn one of these into a win. We're in trouble.
Well, and you look at it too, because there were so many moments like that throughout the season. You even look at just the last one at Richmond, where you were like,
there's an ambulance.
Brady was so close.
How do you forecast an ambulance being in the racetrack that bit you?
Did they say anything about that in the driver's meeting? Watch out for the ambulance.
No. It's probably frowned upon if you bring that up afterwards. But, yeah, that was a super not good moment. It was definitely a bad moment and terrible timing for me. We had a good race car, but we put ourselves in that situation, right? We were drove up to third place last weekend and had a pit road violation where the guy jumped over the wall too soon, put us back there to where the accordion effect.
And you got right back up there, though.
Then
I mean,
get
what
back
a car.
Up there, then the ambulance wipes you out. Then get back up there again, and we had a tire get loose. I mean, you know, so you can blame it on ambulances, you can blame it on whatever. At the end of the day, we put ourselves in that situation and just didn't get the result. But fun racetrack again over there at Richmond. That's what's so cool about our sport. You go to, from these short tracks, right, and then you go to Chicago, mile and a half, extremely fast track. It's hard to explain just how different that is. People think that, you know, I mean, you're running maybe 160, you know, maybe at Richmond. Now you're going to jump up and run 190 upwards, 200 miles an hour. I mean, that's a big, big difference. This track is pretty worn out, like a good old bottle of wine. Got a lot of character bumps in the road down in 3 and 4. There's a lot of things that differentiate each track as we go through this schedule. So that's always a challenge and always a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You mentioned fun a bunch of times. It's going to be fun at Chicagoland.
Oh, yeah.
People going to enjoy Chicagoland here coming up. This entire weekend for Tales of the Turtles 400. You also mentioned family too, and let's talk about it. Whatever happens on the track, you leave it on the track. You really enjoy, and you should. You're living the dream, and you're bringing your family along with it. And oftentimes, you're doing that in a car. On this show, we talk racing, talk drivers' tracks, but we also talk family road trips. We talk cars, car tech.
Yeah.
So we talk a lot about those things, the advances that are going on, and people get in the car and heading out for that road trip and kind of exploring America. So you're doing that too. People think of you as just driving. You get 190 miles an hour, but of course you're running out getting groceries, you're doing whatever you got to do, right?
Yeah, you literally do. You have to raise kids and raise a family now, but racing's always been a family sport. Ever since I was 5 years old, we've been chasing the dream of racing in a motorhome as a family. My two brothers and I raced at an early age. Our parents drove all around the country chasing this dream, and it still is that way today. My old man, he still gets in his motorhome and meets me at the racetrack.
How cool is that, though, right?
That's what it is. I mean, it's neat that you're able to still chase this dream, just like it all started way back when I was a little kid.
So, and we talk about the cars that people have, whether it's movie stars, rock stars, drivers. Sometimes, you drive what you drive on Sunday, but what did you start off with? Chris Devoda, she had, I think it was electric blue Chevrolet Chevette. Kevin Harvick, your teammate, I think he said he kind of stole or borrowed his dad's truck for the longest time. Your first car, what was it?
I had a hand-me-down brown 1981 AMC Concorde, Nash, and had chrome directional wheels on it.
Now, the Concorde for AMC was the luxury model.
Had some MTX 8-inch speakers in the back deck of it. It had some bumps, but I only owned that car. It was in my possession. I didn't own it. It was my dad's, but it was in my possession all of about an hour. It was a hand-me-down from my older brother. We always used to jump the railroad tracks because it did have air shocks. I mean, you got to have air shocks to be able to air
comfort.
Something out, and hit it a little too hard, knocked a hole in the oil pan, and blew it up all in the first outing that I owned, that I had that car, and then I went without for a long time.
No.
That was my first car experience.
Well, nowadays you're on the road, of course, with the family, and now you have the advantages. Of course, if you think back to the AMC Concorde, I think it did have the AM/FM radio. It probably had a cassette player in there.
Yes.
Some of the accoutrements of luxury, but now we have the amazing world of technology to support us where we go. Like now, to get here, everybody goes with their GPS. I don't know if I could even remember how to get to my mom's house anymore without the phone, but some of these apps are helping you not only get places better and safer. So let's talk a little bit about Liberty Mutual. Highway Hero app that you're working
with. Yeah, it's just like everything. I grew up in a small town and you just didn't have traffic. You didn't have anything. You didn't have anybody. You had gravel roads. You know what I mean? Right. And now that you're older and you travel all across the country chasing this dream, you have kids now. That changes everything. Changes your outlook on the way you see people drive, the way you drive.
Now, I know this is kind of crazy. Are there two separate Clint Bowyers? Is there the on-the-track Clint Bowyer? Now, talking to Darrell Waltrip, he says you get behind the wheel, you turn into an animal.
Yeah.
But when, you're at home, are you not an animal? I mean, do you separate?
Well, there has to be.
I mean, right.
On the racetrack, you're going 200 miles an hour. You're within inches of one another. You're beating and banging. Or you better be. You better be aggressively driving to get to the front and to win that race. On the road,
Do you ever go? Does your wife ever say like, Clint? You're
you
going.
You just get mad. The thing is, you see so many people. And again, going to this Highway Hero app at Liberty Mutual Insurance is put free app. Doesn't cost anything. Goes in the background of your phone. It's not something you have to look over and consciously make sure that you put it, you know, on to you know, judge and score your driving and keep track of that and learn how to be a better driver with all the things that it calculates and computes, whether it be braking, whether it be acceleration that we use big time on the track, cornering, usage of your phone, all of these things that contribute to your score on the Highway Hero app. So here's the thing. Imagine when my kids get old enough. This is what I love about this app. This is the best aspect and how it would work best in my household. When my kids grow up and they get their chance at driving, everybody worries about that. I remember my parents, they were very worried about, you know, us being out on the road, where we were at, we were driving safe and everything else. You can get that kid comes back home, grab his phone, pull it up his score and make your decision on whether or not he gets the keys for the next day off that score. So safety is the number one thing that it promotes and I love it. It's been a lot of fun to get home and you know, compare scores with my wife or my family, you know, and have a little bit of friendly competition about it. But that's what it does for me and how it works in my family.
See,
and my household.
I mean, that's what it does. It adds a little bit of incentive into driving safely and driving well. You know, cause it's one thing to say like, okay, you should probably do this.
But everybody thinks they're a good driver. Until you get the Highway Hero app, you realize just how bad you are.
And so then you can also kind of dispute, maybe your wife's always telling you what a bad driver you are. Now you have proof. Right?
Not
you personally.
But I thought she was a horrible driver, and come to find out she's a pretty good driver.
It reminds me kind of like a Fitbit for your car. Right?
Yes.
It's the kind of thing where it's telling you what's going on, how it's working, and all that kind of stuff, and you can make those adjustments as you go along. And so where do we get the app? You just go, I guess, on Google Play or something and find it?
You go right on your phone and look up the Highway Hero app on your apps, and there it is. It's free, doesn't cost a thing, a lot of fun, and it's so important. And again, like I love that aspect of being able to keep track of your kids and make sure they're driving safe.
Liberty Mutual Insurance, Highway Hero app. It is free. You can get it. Clint Boyer is using it. His family is using it. You can use it and you can score your driving, where you're going from, whether it's around the block or around the country. Last thing, and you know, our mutual friend Guy Fieri, we all were together on.
It's official. We're going to claim him.
Yes, we have to. Well, it's part of the next question too, because he did this, and this is something too. I think that will go along with things that you guys will talk about. So he did that family road trip thing, you know,
yeah.
The whole Clark Griswold go to the parks, kind of world's largest ball of twine, all that kind of stuff. One of those road trips. It was the first time that he had done that, and we talked about that a little bit. And I wanted to ask you. You had mentioned earlier in the interview, you know, getting with your family, and some of your family road trips and experiences probably had a race involved. You know,
absolutely, every one of them
at the same time. But were there places where you went that were kind of where you at the time, whether it was a side effect, you got to see the country?
You know, I'm so glad that he did that. We've talked over the years. You know, he comes to the racetracks and sees, you know, my family and I in that motorhome. He's like, man, this just looks like fun. And next thing you know, he's bought an RV and he's going all across the country.
He was doing his like CDL classes.
It was such a Clark Griswold moment in an RV. And it looked like they had a ton of fun. The show's been great. And his kids are so awesome. You know, Hunter and Ryder and the whole family. It's just that's why people like that work, and that's why people flock to their shows and things like that. They're good people. They're relatable people, and do fun things, and it's an exciting thing to watch. So always enjoy. My favorite thing, one of the favorite races for me, is going out to Sonoma, and a big reason why is we go over and crash his house, and he cooks dinner for everybody in his backyard, which is like a full-on commercial kitchen.
Yes, it is.
You know, the food does not suck at Guy's house, right? I can promise you that.
Do you ever get a chance? You know, he's got that compound. He has a number of, he likes cars too. His first car was a Datsun 280 ZX, just for a matter of fact. Do you ever say like, hey Guy, you know, I'm going to take the Ferrari or the Lamborghini out around
Here's
the block?
Here's why you can't drive Guy's cars, because just like him, it screams, look at me.
Oh, that's
right.
It's
bright yellow Ferrari. It's a bright yellow. I don't care what it is. This thing is bright and it's loud and proud. So, even his boat is banana yellow. So, I'll just drive one of my sports cars or something.
NASCAR weekend coming up for the Tales of the Turtles 400 at Chicagoland Speedway. It is going to be bright. It is going to be loud. It is going to be colorful. All of those things. Clint Boyer will be there front and center in the 14 for Stuart Haase. And Clint, for people who want to follow you, they want to catch up with all your adventures, they'll see you, of course, on Sunday. But social media-wise, how can they do that?
Yeah, I have a lot of fun. Just Clint Boyer. Clint Boyer is my handle on Twitter. And have a lot of fun with fans. Again, our sport's all about interacting with fans. That's what differentiates our sport with other sports, the closeness that a fan gets to the, you know, the athlete and the driver. So same way on your social media, I think all the drivers, all my peers and all of us have a lot of fun it is fun to interact with people on Twitter. It's amazing what people can come up with.
And that's part of what has made you so popular. Your fans love you not only for what you do on the track, but also just the way that you are, the way that you share some of the stuff. It is all about fun. It's happening this weekend. Clint, thanks so much for coming into the station, number one, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, brother. Going to be good.